be with all of you. So today we will look at how Jesus strengthened Peter. So in the three times that the Lord strengthened Peter, he told Peter to feed his lamb, his sheep. And when we read the four Gospels, when we read till the end, you realize that the book of John is different from the rest of the Gospel books. Now, the rest of the Gospels, in the end, they all talk about the Great Commission. And the Lord told the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, and in my name, you preach the message of repentance and forgiveness. But when we read till the end of the book of John, you realize the Lord said, go and feed my sheep, and Peter, you come and follow me. So do you realize this? So we know that to shepherd the sheep of the Lord is also part of the Great Commission. But in the emphasis of the book of John, the Lord told us that we not just have to be a preacher, we must be a shepherd. Now, what is lacking in the church today is not preacher or ministry workers, but what is lacking is people who truly love the Lord and who can shepherd and feed the sheep of God. Now, in the church, sometimes we see that certain people, they like to teach and share the word of God. I'm not saying that this is not important. Just like I'm preaching to you today, but I realize that preaching, some people think that you need a lot of learning, knowledge, and people who are stronger academically, such people, sometimes they go to the Bible college and study, and you ask them to come out to shepherd, you know, God's sheep, they feel it's very troublesome. They prefer to teach in the Bible college, to nurture Bible students, but they don't want to come out from the Bible college to teach to mentor the church, because it's very troublesome to shepherd the people of God. And sometimes they have many problems, and one-time counseling is not enough, but you have to correct them many times. Sometimes you have to deal with their emotions, and so it's so difficult. So some people, they prefer to teach in the Bible college. I'm not against teaching in the Bible college, but you have to know that we study theology in order to go to the battlefield. So we shepherd the church. There's all kinds of people in the church, all kinds of complicated situations. Now, if we don't deal with all these problems in the church, but we only like to teach in class, then how are we different from teachers in school? So the church not only needs preachers, but needs shepherds who know how to shepherd the sheep of God. And then also, when we talk about shepherding, some people, they will say, oh, we want to shepherd people. Some people, they are very broken, and we want to bring them to the church. And we all pray for them. We do deliverance and healing on them. And so when we always do this, then you realize, can you really help that person? That sheep, can that sheep really become strong? So sometimes when we passionately want to care for one person, sometimes it seems as if, but when this person goes back, he cannot grow. So we have a lot of love and zeal, and we serve very zealously, and we want to serve the Lord in this way. There's many such people, but you always realize they cannot strengthen the sheep of God. So do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we do not shepherd with love. On the contrary, we need love. We also need renewal. But what is the foremost in shepherding? What's most important in shepherding is for you to, you have to feed the sheep. When the sheep is hurt and wounded, you need to nurse his wounds. When a sheep is wounded in his spirit, in his relationship, in all areas, and sometimes they cannot see, or sometimes they see but they couldn't stand up to walk. But you have to first ask, what can I use to take care of the sheep, to feed the sheep, and what the sheep needs to eat? They need to eat grass. And so the Lord's sheep needs to eat the Word of God. So if you give him the Word of God, then he can be strengthened. So those of us who are shepherds, what you must first know is you're not using your passionate love, keeping company every day, and then the moment you leave him, he fall again. You must first use the Word of God to feed the sheep of God. Then you say, now our church always talk about the Word of God. Maybe he cannot absorb the Word of God. And he keeps saying, you always tell me the Word of God. I have so much problems. I have financial problems, children problems. You come and help me. And so we also need to help him with practical needs. But you must remember that if he cannot be enlightened and satisfied by the Word of God, then after helping him with the practical help, you realize that he still cannot stand up. So we still have to go back to the Great Shepherd, his words. But now because he has problem, he has hurts and wounds, and he's very troubled. So the Word of God given him is like solid food to him, and he cannot digest. So in shepherding, it's like you have to chew God's word to be very fine, so that the person can receive the Word of God and digest it. So in other words, you have to confirm the Word of God with him. You have to confirm the love of God with him. Confirm how the Lord is with him even in his troubles. So in the area where he's wounded, you have to cover it with God's blood and God's word. And so this is like our Lord Jesus, this is like our Apostle Paul. He said, you need to preach in season and out of season with all kinds of teaching. Sometimes you need to rebuke people, you need to warn people, you need to admonish people, you need to encourage people. And so this is all the shepherding by the Word of God. So today, the church is not so clear with regard to shepherding. Some pastors, they are only preaching on stage and they never spend time with the sheep. And some pastors, they like to do healing and deliverance or caring ministries. The church which I came from, every time when we talk about pastoral care, the first thing they will think about is we will go visitation, we will show people a lot of concern, but eventually you realize they still remain at the stage of human concern. Now the sheep looks at, you know, who is showing me concern? Is it pastor? Is it the small group leaders? Then they're happy for a while, but they practically cannot pray on their own by the Word of God and receive strength on their own. And so if you lead the sheep in this way for 3 to 5 years, it's very tough for you. You know, it's so hard for you to raise him up, but the moment he faces temptations, he will fall again. And so traditional church, they do visitation. Another kind of work is they do healing and deliverance. They use a lot of emotionalism. And for a while, they give the person very positive emotions to make the person happy for a while. But after that, it cannot sustain. So we need to go back to what the Bible teaches us with all kinds of patience and teachings. So how do you use the Word of God? So sometimes when you show concern for the people, if the person need to cry, let him cry, let him struggle, but eventually you need to bring him back to the Word of God. Sometimes you need to analyze his situation for him, and after that, As you pray for him and you love him, the Lord will touch you the appropriate Bible verses. And of course, we shouldn't anyhow apply Bible verses. You know, we cannot anyhow just say, you know, God will prosper you. So you must look at a person. Maybe a person's problem comes from his selfish desires, and you cannot just anyhow proclaim promises of prosperity over him. In fact, you must use God's word to make him humble down, to deal with his selfish desire, and you must help him understand that God has not left him. So I cannot just teach this in one class, because this is about how you understand the work of the Holy Spirit. So the shepherd will understand the sheep, will understand that one sheep, the state of his life, his weaknesses, and so on. So you need to think of God's word to shepherd that sheep. So through today's message, I hope that we can all want to be a shepherd. At least pray about it. It can't be you are a believer for 10 years, 20 years, and you come to church without shepherding anyone. So you have to pray, at least yearn to be a shepherd. So how is a true shepherd like? Because we always say that there's so many shepherds in the church, and my shepherd tell me this and that. But we must first ask, what is a true shepherd? What kind of qualities will he have? Now you look at pastor, you know I'm a shepherd. Now, what is it in me that makes me look like a shepherd? Is there a word shepherd written over my head? No. So a shepherd that is recognized and acknowledged by God is, first of all, he is first being shepherded by the great shepherd. A true shepherd of the church whom you should follow is someone who is also being shepherded by the great shepherd. In other words, he doesn't just come to church enjoying work, but he enjoy listening to the voice of the great shepherd. He want to receive the word of the great shepherd. So the shepherd which you follow, whether it's the pastor or the church leader, now if the person does not like to hear the word of God, then you must not listen to him. Even if he is very eloquent or he's very good with relationship, you must be all the more careful, because he deals with all those things, but he only gives you human teachings, and he himself does not like to get healing from the word of God. And so without that, how can he shepherd the sheep of God? So that's the first point. Now, pastor always teach you 3 or 4 times a week, but I myself, I love to listen to the word of God. So sometimes I also go online. There's some renowned pastors and with solid foundation. I also hear their sermons and receive from their word. And secondly, the shepherd who is acknowledged by God is, no matter what he does, he will come from the point of the benefit of the sheep. So we listen to the message, we pray to God on our own, and then naturally we will think about our sheep. We will think about the sheep that God has given to me. So how can I use the word of God? So I myself received the word of God, and how this word comforted me, and I will think about how to comfort brothers and sisters. So whatever you have experienced, the good things that you receive, you will think of the sheep. Now, parents who love the children, you know, you have eaten some good food. You will not just go home and tell your children, you know, I'm very full now, but you will buy the same nice food for your children. So we were shepherd. We will think about our sheep every day. So when you hear pastor preach, you can feel that while preparing the message, this message not just is apologetic to reform people, but there's also shepherding elements in the message. So it's not merely talking about knowledge. It's not just talking about a message that is without error. It's easy to preach a message that is not wrong, but to preach a message that can shepherd the sheep of God, that's another thing. You yourself must be shepherded, and you yourself must think about the needs and the weaknesses of the sheep to prepare your sermon and then to preach it. So that's the second point. And third, a true shepherd will not be easily wounded. Do you know, sometimes in the midst of shepherding sheep, sometimes the sheep are mischievous. Sometimes they struggle with each other. They have a lot of strife between each other. They compare with each other. They have jealous against each other. And then they say nasty words to each other. And so we shepherds, we have to bear with that. So if you show your temper in the same way as them, then it's hard to shepherd them. You just become enemies with them. Some shepherds, they smile in front of the sheep, but in their heart, they kept a lot of grievances. And then from then on, they lack the love toward sheep. And so do you realize that if you want to be a shepherd, the motivation and drive of being a shepherd comes from his love for God. So a true shepherd, finally, is he may seem to have done good works on sheep, but in his heart, the good works he has done is done for the sake of the Lord. So on the day of judgment, the Lord will surely say to us, "Come, share my happiness with me forever." Because when I'm hungry, you feed me. When I'm thirsty, you give me drink. When I'm in prison, you visit me. And you say, "When did I do all those things?" And the Lord said, "What you have done on the least of these brothers, you have done on me." So a shepherd, in future, when he sees the Lord, he will receive great reward. And so some people, they say, "Pastor, I really love the Lord, but I do not love the brethren." Now, that is a lie. Definitely a lie. No. Where is your love for the Lord? Can you dig out your heart to show me? Where's the Lord? The Lord is in the life of the brethren beside you. So the degree of your love for God is not by your feeling. We are all deceived by our heart, and this is self-deception. So when you love the Lord, and then you turn to your brethren, you open your eyes, then you see this very weak brethren, but you do not just look at his weaknesses, but you had this heart of compassion for the brother, and you wait for him. You know that there is wounds in the brother's life. Maybe he needs 3 to 5 years to even 10 years to be healed. So that's the heart of being a shepherd. So now today, when our Lord came to strengthen Peter, he asked Peter to be the shepherd of the Lord's sheep. And so the Lord asked him 3 times the same question: "Peter, do you love me?" And in these 3 times, the Lord instructed him that, "Peter, you must feed my sheep." Maybe in this, there's some slight rebuke of the Lord. There's also the challenge of the Lord. There's also the commission of the Lord. And all this prepared Peter, and also prepared us who are hearing the word today. How do we do the work of God? Now look at John chapter 21. And we have come to the end of the chapter. This is the second last sermon from the book of John. And next week will be the final sermon on the book of John. Now, last week, we have read that the Lord has gone to the seaside to seek the disciples. And he fed them, make them hungry, make them well-fed and satisfied. And now he told Peter very important words. Now verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter. Now this is very important. Now some people, you know, without eating breakfast, you may speak a lot of things to them. They cannot absorb what you say. So in other words, some people, they are just weak. So they have some physical needs, they have some sorrows, they have some They need to first be comforted and satisfied. Then after that, they can pay attention to the more important words. So it's not just enough for our stomach to be full. We will still be hungry. But we must be spiritually full from the Word of God. So Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than this?" So this, later our man explained. "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Why didn't he say, "I love you"? But he said, you know everything, Lord. You know the inner state of my heart. You know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Now, when our Lord is asking Peter, do you realize why the Lord didn't address him as, "Peter, do you love me?" But why did the Lord call him Simon? No, son of John, Simon. Simon, son of John. So we know the Lord had a certain meaning within this. Now, this Peter, the name means... No, Simon means unshakable. And Peter means you will be shaken. So, he has always been called Peter, but suddenly he called him Simon, son of John. So it's very solemn. And so within this, there is a tinge of rebuke. Are you truly Simon? Are you truly unshakable? Now, this is not to accuse him. So what I want to emphasize, where we are weak, the Lord will not praise us. Instead, the Lord will remind us. I see that many church messages today, they all talk about positive things. You know, the Lord already covered our transgressions, and we do not talk about our weaknesses. Now, we cannot say that. Because if that's the case, you cannot grow for your whole life. We must know that we are sinners, but at the same time, we are also righteous. So Peter is Simon, he's also Peter. So, when the Lord brought out our weaknesses, not to accuse us, but to help us truly understand ourselves, who we are, what are our weaknesses. Our sins are always before us. And so all the more, I need the grace and the mercy of the Lord. And my whole life, no matter how I've become a great pastor or shepherd, I will not become proud. And I will always remember how weak I am. I can just deny the Lord in an instant. And so I have no choice but to rely on Him in all things at all time. Then that is true faith. A true shepherd, while shepherding God's lamb and sheep, he will not be afraid to confirm with the sheep of the Lord, including speaking the truth in love. And then, as the Lord strengthened Peter, he asked, "Peter, do you love me?" But Jesus did not just ask that. Jesus asked, "Peter, do you love me more than this?" Now, the disciples had just eaten their breakfast. Their stomach had been full, and so their bodies are satisfied. And so we feel usually very high and happy when our bodies are full. But you cannot eat anymore when you are full. Now, on earth, if you have so much money already, even if you have more money, you won't be any more satisfied. So we have to understand what the Lord is saying. Do you love me more than this? So this means, you know, when you love God, there's some relative comparisons. So when we love the Lord, there will be relative comparisons. We submit to the Lord, but there will also be the possibility of us not being able to submit because the situation preventing us from submitting will arise. Just like in the Garden of Eden, the Lord told Adam and Eve to submit to Him and eat what they should eat. But there's also something you shouldn't be eating. The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you must know that that is the fruit you cannot eat. So when you love the Lord, you realize there's surely a relative comparison that will appear. Maybe some that could be family to some of us, or their freedom, all kinds of things. And all these things, it's not that they are not important. The Lord will prepare all those for us also. But many a times, in between our relationship with God, we are stuck because of all these other things. By right, we should have sought the kingdom and the righteousness of God first. Then all this will be added to us. Actually, we should have enjoyed the relationship with God first. But then many other things, you know, hinder our relationship with God, you know, because of busyness, because of children, because of exams, because of family matters. So it makes people want to compromise God's word and God's church meetings. So we have to admit that this is true. And we are always tempted by all these things. So when we want to be the shepherd of God's sheep, the first hurdle we must cross is, do you love me more than all this? So when we say that every time when we come before the Lord, it's all because of earthly matters, then we slowly realize that all these things prevented us from coming before the Lord. Maybe because of the busyness of work, then I cannot attend to your matters. Or it's also possible that some people, they serve the Lord because they love the praises of men. So when humans give them very positive approval, then they serve the Lord in a very obvious way. But then when they face human confrontation and people did not approve of him, then they will feel discouraged. Now, if I'm so easily discouraged, I cannot be a pastor today. So when you are with sinners and weak persons, either you keep doing good works for the Lord and you become stronger and you can have more compassion on the sheep of the Lord. Otherwise, you'll be full of wounds. So, dear brothers and sisters, the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? Not by your feeling, not by your zeal in your heart, but there is this relative comparison. So you need to confirm. Now you have your full load of fishes just now, but do you love me more than this? And Peter said, Lord, you know, I love you more than this. And the Lord said, feed my lambs. And then second time, the Lord asked almost the same thing. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? So the Lord seems to be unconvinced. And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. So from feeding, then now becomes like a position. You pastor, you take care of my sheep. So it's as if the same words are being repeated. But if you know the original text and language, then you know it's slightly different. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? So in Greek, the love is agape. Now, human love, there's a few kinds. One is agape, the selfless, unconditional love. Usually, it's used to describe God's love toward humans. But the Lord also said, how I love you, you must use the same love to love others. Agape. So Jesus is asking Peter, Peter, do you agape me? Another kind of love is, in Greek, there's four kinds of love. So what is the term that Peter used? So Peter is using filial, the form of love, filial. The other two kinds of love, storge and eros. Eros love is a love between man and woman. Storge is the love between kings. Now, there is no kinship between Jesus and Peter. Now, but Peter mentioned, Lord, I filial you. Now, filial is the greatest love among men. Now, usually we love someone, a human, a lot. That's because they are our king or our lover. Those are the storge or the eros love. But Peter had this pure friendship with the Lord, but it's the friendship of highest love. So Peter said, Lord, you are my truest friend, so you know I filial you. So Jesus said, Peter, do you agape love me in a selfless way? And then Peter replied, Lord, you know you're my truest and deepest friend, so you're my dearest friend, so I love you in a filial way. So what does this mean? So Peter meant, in my human capacity and possibility, I tried my best with all my heart and my most sincere love. So that's my love for you. But I know I cannot reach the level of the highest love, the kind of love that you have for me. So the dialogue between Peter and Jesus, there is this meaning within this. So this is very real. So here, why did the Lord have to test Peter? Doesn't the Lord knows how much Peter loved him? Of course the Lord will know, because the Lord knows everything. But the reason why the Lord asks in this way is so that Peter himself can confirm and can know how much he loved the Lord. So our love for the Lord cannot remain in a state of assumption and delusion or self-deception. So the Lord wants to let Peter know how much he loved the Lord, because in future when you serve me, when you feed my lambs, when you do all these things, and the fruit of the ministries, the motive of the ministry must all stem from your love for me. Of course, no one can love the Lord as perfectly as He has loved us, but how much you have loved the Lord is how much you can love the sheep of the Lord. Sometimes we easily will forget, because we humans, we like to center on the fruit and success. So sometimes we see miracles, we are very high, and we see the blessing of the Lord and we feel very high. So it's like the fishermen, they have not caught a single fish, and suddenly they caught a load full of fish. They are very happy. So sometimes pastors, they felt very happy to lead someone to Christ. When they shepherd, they are happy, you are also happy. Everybody rejoices in the Lord. Now, we all had all these kind of experiences, but you know the life of a shepherd. Because very soon you come to some bottleneck. Sometimes there are challenges, and slowly, if you only rely on, you know, you like me, I like you, then we save many peoples and the numbers of the church keep growing, then shepherd, you realize he will start to pay less attention to God. he'll pay less to God, he'll pray lesser to God, and suddenly temptation will come, and human voices and human objection will come, and then he may become discouraged in his heart. So we as shepherds, our lifetime challenge is we have to come quickly to the Lord's question, do you love me? Now, I have confirmed many times, we humans, if we do not love the Lord, we cannot be joyful and satisfied. Sometimes you come to church, everyone likes you and people cheer for you, but after the cheering, when you go back home, you're alone at home, when the cheering suddenly stops, and then your heart, if your heart is not filled by the love for the Lord, the longing for the Lord, then suddenly you have this very strange sense of loneliness. Now, some idols, you know, the celebrities, they perform for thousands and millions of people, and everybody cheered for them, and suddenly they went back to their room. They just may get very depressed. So a lot of celebrities, they commit suicide by taking medication because they cannot withstand the sudden isolation and emptiness after multitudes cheering. So we who do ministries is also the same, because we have been spending time with people and tasks, and we can see the fruit of our labor, and then we realize we pray lesser, we look to God lesser, and when we go back home, and when we are alone, we will feel very lonely. Over time, this is not good. So we must understand that the greatest need in human hearts is that his heart can be intimate and in love with the Lord. Only the infinite God can satisfy our infinite heart. So that's why Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" So where is the evidence of your love for God? It's in what you have done and your love for the sheep of the Lord. So some people told Pastor, you know, Pastor, you keep emphasizing we need to love the sheep of the Lord and shepherd them, but I'm not familiar with the brethren beside him, so it's very hard for me to love him. Or, you know, it's very hard for me to genuinely love the brethren. Now, I've known my co-workers for 20 years. So my love for them versus my love for you whom I just know. Of course, we cannot deceive ourselves. So just like the church, we have 300 people. I cannot know everyone, especially when you all wear masks. So a shepherd who loves the Lord, he's very genuine. He knows that between humans, you need to know and be in contact. And so, because you love the sheep of the Lord, so you know that you come to church, you cannot just come quietly and leave quietly. So, those who truly love the Lord, you know that you come to church, you come already and you have to be in contact with brethren. Now, so in this heightened alert, our church service will end very early. Like for this session, it will end at 10 plus. So you can commit more time to your brethren. You can, you know, meet up with your brethren after service for meals, for visitation. So sometimes, why do you come for prayer meeting? Now, from the numbers attending prayer meeting, you can tell the degree of love that you have for brethren. Now, in my old church, we have 300 congregation, but only about 30 people attended the prayer meeting. So those who attended prayer meetings are all the pastors and their wives, the elders and their wife, and deacons and their wife. Now, I tell you, you do not like to come to prayer meeting. Why? Because you do not care about other people's affairs. Because every time we come to prayer meeting, pastor will talk about who is sick, which family have certain matters. You know, some believers, they just think that I cannot even manage my own problem. I'm only concerned about my own issues. Why do I care about other people's issues? So that means that in the church, there's a lot of infant believers. They only care about their own things. They don't care about other people. So when you come to church, you need to know this brother and that sister, what happened to them, what issues they have. And from then on, after you know what happened to them, you will have put it in your heart to want to be in contact with them. Now, we are thankful that those who attend our church church prayer meeting, there's about 70 to 80 people. So sometimes in the prayer meetings, they reunite because now we have 5 services. So sometimes in prayer meeting, brethren from different services, they get to meet and then they can communicate and they can talk and fellowship again. So then it becomes a church that truly wants to shepherd one another. So from the day one of our building up of this church, we set up this culture. Now if this church merely preaches the word of God beautifully, but there is no real relationship among the believers and members, that if there's no real concern for one another, then the church will become very cold. So you listen to sermon as if listening to a talk, and then there's no relationship between one another, so that's not so good. Now, verse 17. Now, the third time Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And so when he asked the third time, now the love that Jesus used has come to the level of Peter. Jesus no longer used the word agape, but Jesus used the word filio. The first 2 times Jesus used agape, third time he used do you filio me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. So, dear brothers and sisters, the Lord brings out our weaknesses, not to accuse us, but bring us to a reality so that we know the state of our life, so that we can humble down. But importantly, the Lord does not always keep emphasizing our weaknesses. The Lord gave Peter the mission to move forward. So 3 times. Why you may question why the Lord have to ask Peter 3 times. Why? Because Peter had denied the Lord 3 times. And before his denial of Christ, Peter confessed, you know, even if everyone denied you, I will not stumble because of you. So now, among the 7 disciples who have gone fishing, but Peter is the one whom God wanted to use. So in front of all these 7 disciples, God affirmed his faith, the faith of Peter, and God affirmed the leadership of Peter. So the Lord is indeed a faithful Lord. That's how our Lord views people. Now, Peter, you are called Peter. You will be a fisher of men. The Lord has given Peter a lot of promises, but he was weak. Usually, we are like this. We saw a brother and we say, you are indeed blessed. And later he's weak. And then we will say, we close one eyes and we will not see. You know, we will say we have seen him wrongly. We are not the Lord. We are indeed not all-knowing. But we must be able to recognize a person's love for the Lord. A person may commit mistake and fall. But you must know that his repentance and remorse after that is real. And his love for the Lord is real. Do not just change your mind because he's temporarily weak. Because we humans, we are fickle. But we have to understand that now the Lord is asking him 3 times, not just to rebuild him, but to strengthen him so that he can respond to the love of God. So we thank God. But some people, when we talk about shepherding, they will say, Pastor, it's very hard for us to be shepherds Because we always have to give and understand people, then who can understand us? Now, every time we have to give in to others, who can give in to us? Who can understand our needs? So suddenly, we may feel this imbalance in our heart. So as pastor or the wife or pastor or elders, sometimes we can be like this and we store this in our heart. We didn't say it out, but we change our face. We have to confess that we are humans. So later on, you need to go back to your initial calling. So the initial calling is, Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. So the Lord already told us right from the beginning, you as a shepherd, you are called not because of your eloquence or your gift or your other things. No, it's because of your love for me, so I use you. So now when you are imbalanced in your heart, you must go back to, do you love me? So three times the Lord asked Peter, so that you know that in future, no matter how difficult it is, you will not be shaken. So God's every question is so meaningful. So this is the most touching portion of the book of John. So I know. Sometimes when I exhausted my physical strength, sometimes humans will be tired. If you see that pastor is very tired, do not keep clinging onto him and, you know, listen to me, pastor. You know, later he will just explode and shout at you. So sometimes, you know, the shepherd is not the great shepherd. He's not like Jesus. Even on the cross, he can still be concerned about his mother and his disciples and pray to his father to forgive everyone and saying that they do not understand what they are doing. The Lord has shown us his example and we are moving towards that example, but not every time our form can be that top form as Jesus. So we always need to think about God's initial calling. And so, we shepherds also need the prayers and intercessions of the sheep. So, we do not need too much from the sheep. We just need the understanding from the sheep. So when the sheep understands our difficulties and our efforts, it gives us a lot of comfort. Then after a night of sleep, after that, we will be fine. Sometimes my wife knows, you know, when I'm not good in my mood, I just sleep, and then after I get up, I'll be fine. So God strengthen me once again through the sleep and through the dream. So do you want to be a shepherd? If you don't want to be a shepherd and you go back to home, what kind of reward do you get? You cannot say, God, you reward me because on earth, people have been making me comfortable. People feed me, but I never feed others. How can you be? So today when we hear the word of God, we are very envious of the work of a shepherd. Now verse 18, let's read 18 and 19, verse 19 and 18 together. Now, Jesus have asked Peter three times and confirmed his love and given him the mission. And verse 18 to 19, I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. So we know. Our Lord, after he said this to Peter, about 34 years, then under the hands of Emperor Nero, Peter was martyred. So he was sentenced to death by Emperor Nero, and he was sentenced to crucifixion, and he told the person executing the sentence, saying, how can I be hung on the cross like my Lord? His cross is the most glorious. So let me be crucified, inverted. So the executor fulfilled his wish, and so he was nailed, inverted. And then he died faster. So even up to the point of the cross, he's at peace and willing. Of course, if you ask willing, who is willing to be killed in this manner by men? But he submitted to the Lord in this way. And he died on the cross to also glorify the Lord. So when the Lord said, when you are young, you just go as you wanted. But when you are old, people will restrain you and lead you to where you do not want to go. So there's a lot of meanings here. So from here, first, there's our whole entire human life can be divided into two portions. First stage of our life is where we can live as we wanted. Now, before we are born again, we live as we wanted. We go where we want to go. We do and say what we wanted. So we just live as we please. We know that although we are very free, it seems as if we are very free, but everything that we have done, not one can glorify God. So Peter, when you were young, that's how you were. You are impulsive, rash, and you get what you deserve. You seem to be free, but you cannot glorify God. But our life will come to a second stage, which is after we are born again, after we met God, and then our life starts to be restrained because there's a master restraining us, and we cannot live by our own will. Sometimes we may face sudden things that is not so good, but in our heart we know that this is permitted by the Lord, and this can glorify the Lord. So when our life becomes more mature, we will treat all these things lightly. So maybe after we are born again, we know that everything is the Lord's sovereignty, the Lord's guidance. When I encounter certain things that's not so good, I know it's the guidance of the Lord. But because we are still spiritual infants, our weak nature will make us not easy to submit to the Lord. Because we are still spiritual infants. So sometimes you realize that we just become believers, and after a period of time, if my life is real, as I age more and more, and I become more and more mature, after that you realize, God, although you permitted this thing to happen to me, I'm not so willing to have this incident, but I will submit to you. I submitted to you. So sometimes I have illness, and I am not so willing to have this illness. But Lord, I submit to you. If you want to use this to glorify you, I submit to you. So when Abraham was old, the Lord told him, sacrifice your only son, the son whom you love, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Did anyone say that Abraham was so willing and so joyful to kill his own son and give it to God? No one parent will be like this. He may not understand, but since this is the instruction of God, he submitted, he obeyed, and the next day he brought the son to Mount Moriah. So in our life, first there's two stages in our life, before and after born again, and second, after being born again, we are still immature. And then another stage is before we become a shepherd, and after we become a shepherd, it also will be different. So after becoming a shepherd, your heart will be on your sheep. And for the sake of your sheep, you can be self-sacrificial. You can sacrifice your time, your energy, your money to feed your sheep. So after becoming a shepherd, just like Paul, he's being imprisoned, he's tough already, but Paul said what? What I've encountered will advance the gospel. So after becoming a shepherd, you have this strength in your heart that enables you to move on, not just to submit to the Lord, but you also have the works of your submission. So some people say, this is very scary. If the Lord told me this is how I'll die, some people among us, they think like this. But you must understand, what is this verse? All along, Peter has been willing to die together with the Lord. So during the Last Supper, God told Peter, you cannot do it. You will deny me 3 times, but one day you will be able to do it. One day you will truly glorify me in this manner and you will be crucified. So this is a word of victory. But some people say, I still feel very scared if I were to hear the Lord tell me this. So what's the answer? The answer is, Peter, follow me. So follow me right now. How are you going to glorify me in future? That is the future matter. So do not live in the past nor live in the future, but live in the present. So next week, I will share more about our life. The aim of our faith is to follow the Lord. So today's entire message is the calling for us as a shepherd, not just to love people zealously, but we need to know how to feed people and shepherd people. Now, the gospel does not make us selfish. We ourselves receive grace and is strengthened and it's good enough for us. It's not just that. After you're being strengthened, you will see a lot of helpless and harassed people who are lost. You must produce compassion for them, and the Lord called you to shepherd His sheep. I also hope that many of us who heard this message, you yourself will be strengthened by the Lord. And then you yourself can be a shepherd also. But you must view yourself with a sober mind. Sometimes when you are full of wounds and so on, you know you yourself must first be healed. But some of you are really mature and you can prepare yourself to be a cell group leader. May the Lord bless all of you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for using your word today to call us so that we know that when we meet our great shepherd, our heart will be full of glory and joy because we are like you. We are also shepherding. Lord, we pray that when brethren receive this word, Lord, help us start with shepherding our family members and people around us with their needs and weaknesses. Help us shepherd them and nurse their wounds. Lord, please help us. So, Lord, we are born selfish, so it's not difficult, so it's not easy for us to do this. We always think for ourselves first. But, Lord, today's word tells us not to be such a selfish person. So Lord, please help each and every one of us, not just illuminate us, but we pray that the Holy Spirit give us strength to follow you and bless people. Lord, we pray and give thanks in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.